Welcome to Radio Gorgeous and the Radio Gorgeous Kitchen. Although today, the Radio Gorgeous Kitchen is actually not at Radio Gorgeous, it's in Heathrow Terminal 2 at the Gorgeous Kitchen. And I'm here with one of the four female chefs of the Gorgeous Kitchen, Jo Pratt, who's cookery writer, cook, food stylist, and presenter. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Jo Pratt.
Well, thank you, Donna, and welcome to the Gorgeous Kitchen.
I'm so excited. We're in Terminal 2 at Heathrow at a beautiful sort of deco style, very gracious, very spacious, relaxed, yet exciting airport environment kitchen.
It is, and I'm really glad you see it that way. I think in our minds, we all perceive a restaurant in an airport as somewhere that's certainly not how the Gorgeous Kitchen is. We're very airy. We're known as the restaurant with a view. We've sort of got wonderful windows looking out onto the runway, which not so many airport restaurants have, and it is spacious. And like you say, it's got a very deco feel to it. It's relaxed. Just because you're traveling, it doesn't mean you should be going into a place where you feel instantly stressed by walking through the door.
Tell me how this project started, because it struck me as rather unusual to have four chefs, first of all, and second of all, a team of four female chefs.
It's certainly unusual. So we've been open now for 4.5 years. We opened up in June 2014, and 2 years before that, probably even a little bit more, I was asked, as well as Sophie Michelle, G. Sharman, and Caroline Artis, the four of us, who all work in food. We all know each other. We've all worked together on various different projects. And we were asked if we would want to collaborate and get involved in a new opening of a restaurant. We needed an idea pitching to Heathrow, who were completely knocking down the old terminal, rebuilding it, and they wanted restaurants to pitch for some space. HMS Host are the company who own the restaurant, and they had asked us if we wanted to join forces with them and put together menu ideas, work out a plan. We're all very different characters. We're all very different, slightly different styles of cooking. And actually, we were originally approached, the four of us, for our different styles of cooking and for the menu to really sort of show that. Actually, as time's gone on, it's changed quite a lot. But initially, it was going to be Sophie has quite a Mediterranean background in her cooking, so she would have brought that on board. Caroline with an Asian feel to her cooking, G very much baking, and me, I was sort of more of the British chef, I suppose, really. And we were going to have a restaurant that focused heavily on those individual components. Actually, as time went on, we realised we just want to collaborate all of our ideas together and make really nice menus that would just use a bit of all sorts.
And I'm impressed that all four of you, one, said yes to the idea, and two, have stayed.
Yeah.
In, you know, stayed, there hasn't been a switch out of,
no,
of chef or anything.
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, in some ways it feels a little bit like X Factor, the fact that, look, here's four people, put them together and make them work together in an environment, and then suddenly one might go off and do something and it all falls apart. We have got on like a house on fire. Our ideas just haven't seemed to work, and we're not together all the time, and I guess that's sometimes the best way with certain people. You know, we respect each other's ideas. One of us might not be able to do something, the other one steps up and helps. You know, we're busy people. We don't work here full time. This isn't our sole job. We all have our other projects. But we sort of have always got each other's back. We'll help each other out when it comes to certain things. And of course, it's not just us. We have an amazing, amazing team here that actually run the restaurant on a daily basis.
Because it is kind of a job share between the four of you of executive chef.
Yeah.
Which I don't think four men could do. But especially in the way that you guys do it. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I say, out of the four of us, we tend to split the year. We've actually started off now doing it, so we'll have a quarter of the year each. So 3 months each, that's when we focus on being in the restaurant more, being on the other end of the phone, listening to any things that need changing, and then it might maybe move on to the next person's quarter. But we'll still, every 6 months, do a menu change, and we'll look at new seasonal products. So it'll have at least two of us there, and we'll come in and we'll discuss ideas, and we'll sort of make things change in that sense.
Do you think either of the four of you at that point, or would you yourself have said, okay, open up a restaurant? Because that's a big risky thing.
Venture. It is. No, I would never have said that. Gosh, when I was first asked about this project, it's like, I don't know if that's for me. I might be a little bit out of my depth. I have no idea what's going on. And actually, none of us did. Even if you have that expertise in a restaurant on a high street, a restaurant in an airport is so different. The experience of getting hold of your produce, even right from the beginning, actually, just the way that the place was designed, we couldn't do certain things that maybe you'd want to do on a high street. So I personally wouldn't want to just say, yes, I'm going to invest in a restaurant on my own, or not that I've invested in this specifically, but I wouldn't want to just throw myself into it. It did feel a little bit like safety in numbers, being four of us together, for slightly unknown sort of expertise going into something, but we had a lot of expertise in other things. So what one of us knew more of, the other one didn't, and then we've learned along the way, and things have sort of really worked out for the best in that sense.
I would say, because also Terminal 2, it occurred to me when I came in here, oh, it's kind of like a mall, and they've curated the restaurants so that they cater for everyone. They want it to be a good traveling experience. So there's something, there's a Yo Sushi, there's other things. Yeah. So you fill one niche.
Yes.
Which I would say is sort of elegant, gracious dining with a fresh ingredients, but also a comfort food feel.
Yeah, completely. And actually, it did change from the initial idea. So, like I say, maybe I've had more of sort of like more like a marketplace is what we imagined in the first place. You know, maybe a little baking area, some sort of fast food, Asian style stir fry type things, and salad bars. That's how we originally thought of it. But Heathrow, when they were planning the terminal, thought, well, no, we want to have a more high end, fine dining type restaurant. And we want you to be the ones that can make that happen. We've got a pub, we've got a sushi, we've got another fast food place, we've got a quick sandwich place. We want something that's going to be a little bit different.
So and you moved that's from the grab and go to
yeah,
the...
it wasn't going to be so much a grab and go, more sort of, I don't know, in our minds we thought perhaps maybe something more Ottolenghi style or something.
Oh, right, like a cafeteria.
Which would be wonderful.
Style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But actually what we've ended up with is something that's just so unique, and it feels so special, and we all grew with the idea and started to love it, and we still do. I mean, like I say, it's nearly 5 years since we opened, and it's properly fallen into its own now. It's a lovely place, and we've sort of started a new juice bar here, so we've still got that sort of element of taking a few things away with us if we want to. People can come in and just order juices and burgers and just sit in sort of a more quicker environment, but then the main part of the restaurant is where you could sit down and have a three-course meal at leisure if you wanted to. You could sit and have a 15-minute in-and-out meal and you're gone. I mean, we do pride ourselves in being able to cater for all needs in that sense.
Well, and some of the... I mean, you have a lot of advantages, some of which we were just talking about. So opening a new restaurant, but with the support and the infrastructure behind you, and not having to make every single, design decision, etc. But there are a lot of challenges. I mean, just the entrance, you're on the fire escape route. So it's kind of got to be clear.
Yeah, it has to be clear. And that's the real frustrating situation in a way, because it's a very, very wide entrance here. Sometimes people think that they're not going into a restaurant. You can't see it from the outside. It is an escape route. But we've always got some great staff standing at the front who guide people through and say, look, come on, come and see our restaurant. You don't have to eat. Just come and take a look. And you can see these beautiful views. And then they go, oh, actually, it's quite a nice looking place. And it's got some really, really positive points to it. And it's
well,
light.
And you have the comfort of the departures board.
Yes.
You have a couple of departures board discreetly in there. Because I know when I'm sitting there and having, I'm like, yes, I want to pretend like I'm having a nice, glamorous hotel cocktail, but I'm keeping an eye on the board, and I got to get my glasses out to make sure, but then I don't want to leave my bag.
Yes.
Whereas here, I can just like, ooh, look, oh no, we have another 20 minutes.
RadioGorgeous.com.
There will be times when we are so busy, and if people are wanting to come into the restaurant, they will be told there and then, look, it may be a little bit longer than 15 minutes, so long as people know. But you're right, I mean, the boards are there for people to be able to spot where their flight is, but it's not completely in your face. And I don't know if you've noticed, there's no tannoy. You can't hear every few minutes sort of somebody shouting, your next flight is, please can so-and-so go to here. That's what's so nice about this whole terminal. It's not called the Queen's Terminal for nothing. It was well thought out, and she came here and opened it, and I think, it's stylish, it's sophisticated, and it's designed with So much ease.
Your supply issues are totally different than they would be if you had a restaurant on the high street.
Yeah.
But also your footfall information is totally different. Tell me about some of the ins and outs there.
Yeah, so if you're on a high street, obviously you're going to get people that will just walk in off the street. You have no idea how many people that will be, or you'll have people that ring up in advance and book. Chances are some of them might not turn up. So it's very hit and miss as to how many people you're going to have in. Here it's quite different in the sense that we know there's only a certain amount of flights that are going to be going from the terminal. The number of passengers is given to the restaurant, everywhere in the terminal, about a month before the flights go out. Obviously, those numbers will change, but that gives you a basic idea as to which flights, the time of the flight, so we know if it's going to be a particularly busy day. If things really change, we'll know the night before anyway. But you know roughly what to expect, which is great. Obviously, sometimes weather has an impact. Not massively, because we know if it's going to suddenly be horrific sort of cold weather or ice, but it makes a difference, because then we can prepare for that. Because the difference is, when it comes to ordering in the food as opposed to on the high street, we can't just run out and get some extra things or get another delivery in later on in the day. We have to get our delivery slot. It's about a 45 minute slot, and the delivery drivers, they have to be wearing the right sort of footwear, it has to be the right sort of van, because security is so tight. It then goes to a holding place where it all gets checked, everything gets made sure that, you know, the temperatures are right. Then it gets brought towards us in the terminal, not into our actual restaurant environment. It goes into another part of the building. Then we have to go and get the food to bring it to the restaurant. So you can't go wrong. You need to have your food. You have to hope nothing gets sent to the wrong place. You don't want staff canteen in Terminal 5 getting our lovely smoked salmon or our sausages, which has been known to happen because it's gone to the wrong place. But you know, we're friends with the other restaurants here. We might be borrowing something from them one day, they might borrow something from us. A bit like going to your neighbour and saying, can I have a cup of sugar? Instead you say, can I have 20 lemons? And hope they'll give you some back one day.
Is it because as you say, I mean, I do sometimes, you know, in the sort of corner shops, you do definitely see, or just Morrison's or something, you definitely see people coming in who are, you know, running from a restaurant, you
yes.
know, in their apron,
yep.
you know, and
a
you
trolley
know, getting
full of cream or something.
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly, at the last minute, which you cannot do.
No, you can't. I mean, that's the problem. You have to be properly organised. And again, we pride ourselves on this, the fact that our food is freshly cooked. So we aren't just having stuff from the freezer or pre-packaged things that we'll just heat through. We're cooking our food from scratch. It's fresh, proper ingredients, and we need to make sure that people continue having that best experience, and that's how it happens for us, using the nice produce. So we can't make mistakes, but mistakes will sometimes happen, of course, and you don't end up with the food, but the chefs here are brilliant. They'll just make it happen. They'll work something else out, and nobody will ever go hungry.
Yeah, and the other advantage you have here is staffing. Because if you're working at the airport, the hours are regular. You know, in other restaurants, it can be, you know, sort of a very chaotic environment.
Yeah.
But because it's sort of a commitment to getting to the airport and going through security and being vetted
yes.
in order to work here.
Every day. There's
yeah.
no, you know, yes, you work here, but you still have to go through that security search as you would if you were going on a flight. So yes, every day you need to be committed to that.
Yeah. So, but in that way, we'll sort of once you're doing that, mm. it's a great gig, and you have a fantastic team here.
We have a brilliant team, and they're like a family to each other, because they do spend a long time working together. The day starts early. Flights come out of the airport from a very early start. So, you know, 4 a.m. could be somebody's first start of the day. But we do know that the flights don't go on until, you know, throughout the night. So there is always a cutoff point in the evening. And everybody's just really happy that sort of that they're here. They know that they're having to come to Heathrow. And it, you don't wander off to a place next door thinking, oh, well, I'd rather work there. Because they're happy with where they are. And I'd happily come to Heathrow and work here all the time. I think it's a great place to be, and everybody just, you know, it's not, it gets very busy, yes, but it have its quieter times, and that's where everybody bonds and gels, and we do some great team building things as well, and there's inter-house competitions, you know, in the restaurant, little competitions, and we went, so our wine that we, our house wine is Chapel Down, an English wine, and we've been doing team building trips there, going to the winery and having a tour and a lunch. I went to the one just before Easter last year, which was fantastic, lots of nice wine tasting, but we make sure all of our staff get to go on to that trip, because it's important that they're all treated in the same way.
This seems to have given you a huge amount of confidence in terms of, I mean, you have a great experience as a cook, as a cookery writer, you a television presenter with food, but this gives another depth to your expertise and a huge amount of confidence.
It does. It's a different angle. Something I always said I wouldn't necessarily do, go and work in the restaurant world. I was at school, loved cooking, loved food. I'd worked in a restaurant as a waitress, and I thought at the time, this isn't for me. I don't like the hours. All my friends are out having fun, and I'm in here working, and everyone else that I'm working for, you know, all the people having their meal and having a nice sociable time. I want to be having the sociable time. So I felt sort of, okay, there must be another way of looking at food, which is what I did. You know, at the time I thought that wasn't right for me, but I'm somebody who always says never say never, and actually this opportunity came up, and okay, I'm not here on a daily basis where I do the long hours and the antisocial, sort of in my head, antisocial hours, but that doesn't mean to say I've not learnt and picked up on this whole restaurant industry and business, and it's complex and complicated, and you know, I admire anybody that's gone into it from a young age and stayed with it, because I think it's fascinating. But you know, I've found it a great experience, and it's so nice to work in a different environment. You can pick up different ideas, different ways of cooking with Sophie and G and Caroline, and I've picked up some great recipe tips from the other chefs in the kitchen. I have. We all learn constantly from each other.
Radio Gorgeous, online, on your phone, on a podcast, or on your tablet. Listen anywhere, anytime.
The seasonal British food. Before we go, I do want to talk about a bit about that, because it strikes me as it is the best combination of gastropub and sort of a day at the races, almost. That's what it feels like. It has that excitement because you're at the airport.
Yeah.
But it has that quality British food. My favorite thing that I even saw on the menu, I did not taste it today, was the breakfast martini with marmalade.
I know. Well, you know, I'll make you one of those afterwards, but they are good. We do have some lovely breakfast cocktails, because you know, if people are traveling, you might be a business traveler, you don't want to necessarily go for a treat before the flight, but yeah, you're going on a holiday, why not? Depending on the time of day, you have a breakfast cocktail with your wonderful breakfast, and yeah, we've got a combination that ticks all the boxes, you know, a French toast and an avocado toast, one of our biggest sellers at the moment, that one is. We've got a vegan breakfast hash, full English breakfast, the TGK breakfast, that is our really big seller. People love to treat themselves. We've got everything. We've got healthy, we've got comfort. You know, that's our breakfast. And then we serve lunch and dinner as well. We've got some fantastic sort of dishes that come from all the way around the world, really. But we sort of use lots of local seasonal stuff.
I mean, that's the thing that struck me, is that there's a lot of, you know, traditional English food, but really fresh.
Yes.
Freshly prepared, fresh ingredients. It feels comfort food, but light, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, you're going on a flight, and when you're on an airplane, it's a very different feel. You've become slightly bloated. So, yes, you might want to have some comfort food, but the dishes that we're serving shouldn't make people feel horribly uncomfortable. And we've got some great salads as well, if people didn't want to go for the real comfort things. You know, lemongrass chicken we've got on the menu with a sticky coconut rice. It's delicious, it's light, it's fresh. We've also got slow roast belly of pork. Very comforting, very tasty. Comfy duck leg, a delicious salad, which is sort of roasted carrots, chickpeas and quinoa. A big seller at the moment, so we've got lots of vegan demand, so we're sort of really picking up on that. We've got a cauliflower steak with lentils and kale and spinach and raisins and capers and anything that people fancy. Hopefully we've got it somewhere there on the menu for them, whether it's breakfast, lunch or dinner, or of course in the bar to have your nice little cocktails, especially for you, Donna.
Exactly. Something nice and bubbly.
Yes.
And gorgeous. Thank you so much from the Radio Gorgeous Kitchen and the Gorgeous Kitchen. Joe Pratt, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Radio Gorgeous.
RadioGorgeous.com.